The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to drive them out and to cure every disease and every illness. The names of the 12 apostles are these. First, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector. James, the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus. Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed Jesus. Jesus sent out these 12 after instructing them thus, "Do not go into pagan territory or enter a Samaritan town. Go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, make this proclamation, the kingdom of God is at hand." The Gospel of the Lord. Good, and so once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. I thought once again I'd share a thought or two with you from our first reading, because I've been doing that all week, first reading from the book of Genesis. And we've been hearing all week long about the Jacob story from our book of Genesis. And then suddenly, whoever put this lectionary together, he does not have to preach on a daily basis, I can tell you that, because he just stops the Jacob story, and then he leaps forward smack into the middle of the Joseph story. And I hope you know the Joseph story. Joseph, one of the 12 children of Jacob, one of the most beloved stories, the only short story in the Bible, which for some reason, they just start smack in the middle of the story, okay, and then you'll hear the climax of the story tomorrow. Let me summarize the Joseph story for you just to jog your memory. And as I do, remember the two main messages of the Joseph story. Number one, the power of God's providence. Number two, God's ability to bring good out of evil through the love and obedience of just one person. Okay, so Jacob had 12 sons, and his favorite son was Joseph, which earned him the resentment of all of his other 11 brothers. A situation which Joseph did not help by telling his brothers about his fantastic dreams, in which his brothers continually bowed down before Joseph like some sort of great and mighty leader. When Joseph told his brothers of these stories, it pushed him over the edge, and they went from resentment to outright hatred. And one day, far from home, they just decided they had enough of Joseph, and they pushed him in a cistern, decided they were going to leave him for dead, and they were going to go back and tell their father Jacob that he was killed by wild beasts, when suddenly one of the brothers says, "You know, let's change a plan here. Let's not just throw him in a well. Let's sell him for cash. Because everybody can use cash." So they sold Joseph for silver to a band of passing Ishmaelites who take Joseph down to Egypt, where before long, Joseph finds himself rotting in an Egyptian prison. But Joseph wins his freedom because he's got this extraordinary ability to interpret dreams. And word of his power to interpret dreams reaches the ear of mighty Pharaoh, who himself has been losing sleep from terribly disturbing dreams. And Joseph explains Pharaoh's dreams to him. And Pharaoh puts him in charge of all of his treasury, which leads to Joseph guiding Egypt through 7 years of terrible famine, to such a great degree that their barns were overflowing with grain, even the same days in which the other nations didn't have anything to eat, which brought all the other nations to the doorstep of Egypt asking for grain. And who showed up one day at the doorstep of Egypt but Joseph's 11 brothers, who'd come down from Canaan. So many years had gone by, they didn't recognize their brother Joseph, and they bowed down before Joseph like a mighty leader, thus bringing all of Joseph's dreams to fulfillment. But Joseph doesn't take revenge on his brothers. Instead, Joseph forgives his brothers, reunites the family, and brings together all the lost children of the house of Israel. That's the story of Joseph. And as I said, it's a story of two things. First, it's a story of divine providence. Now, I really glossed over all the details, but if you go through the details of the story, what you realize is that despite all of the deliberate evil machinations of so many people throughout the story, God uses every single one of them as an essential ingredient in his plan in bringing about a greater good, which just goes to show that God was in charge throughout the entire thing. The whole Joseph story can be summarized when Joseph turns to his brothers and says, "You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good," which is something that we want to keep in mind. Because, you know, you look around our world today, and don't we have example upon example of just inexcusable, deliberate evil, and we feel like God is asleep, right? He's asleep on the job. No, God is in charge of everything, and someday, I don't quite know how, but someday you're going to see that he used every last detail of what you thought was the worst evil in the whole world, and he helped bring about an even greater good as a consequence. Okay. But that doesn't mean that we sit back as passive spectators and just observe all of this happening. We're active cooperators in what God wants to do, and you better not sit on your behind and watch it all unfold as you snack on popcorn. Right? God needs your active cooperation. One of the other real important messages here is that God brings about an even greater good through the love and obedience of just one person. So don't sit around and wait for, you know, everybody else to join you until you have a consensus. Just one is enough. Of course, Joseph is just that one, but if I had more time, I could tell you some of the backstories on things that the other 11 brothers did and how it affected the rest of the history of Israel. One little story for you here today, okay? It's the story of Benjamin. Benjamin was the youngest of the children of Israel. And in the Joseph story, Benjamin finds himself falsely accused of a crime. And the only one who steps up in poor Benjamin's defense is Judah. The brother Judah says, "Benjamin's innocent, and I'll take the punishment that you were going to give to Benjamin, who's innocent of this crime." Well, you know what ended up happening later in the history of Israel? All the tribes of Israel fell away from their loyalty to the king of Judah in Jerusalem, except for just one tribe, the tribe of Benjamin. And you want to know who rose up out of the tribe of Benjamin? St. Paul. St. Paul, who ended up becoming God's instrument to spread the message of the gospel to the Gentiles. And he did all of it because the love and obedience of one person, with an important message for us. You know, this is why I love to talk about the Old Testament. We hear these Old Testament stories and we think that it just doesn't make any sense. And when you realize what God is doing, it becomes crystal clear that the same God in the New Testament is God in the Old Testament. And that he's been active and provident all along, right? Provident in our own time. And we need to believe in that. Someday you're going to be in awe of all that God has done. And he still asks for the love and obedience of just one person to help him carry out his plans. Let's put our faith in him no matter how bad things appear, and just like Joseph and Judah of old, let's strive to be that one person who cooperates with God's loving plan. Amen.